Hey guys, it's Chris. I just want to let everyone listening that lives in the Northeast Ohio area, especially in Akron, that I will be headlining the Funny Stop Comedy Club on State Road in Cuyahoga Falls on Wednesday, March 25th. The show's at 8 p.m. Come on out, have some laughs. We can have a beer and talk about the Cavs. Tickets are available now by calling 330-923-4700. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisklem.net and I'll put you on the guest list. This is good for the first 15 people that email me, so holler at your boy, and I'll see you Wednesday, March 25th.
This podcast is brought to you by no one. If you're interested in sponsoring this broadcast, email us at c4podcast@chrisklem.net. Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, welcome back. I came here to sing the praises. I came here to sing the praises of the man from Russia. I said the man from Russia, come. He's got them big arms. He's gonna block some shots. He's gonna score some points. He's gonna dunk that basketball, cause he's the he's the Mars God. He's the Mars God. He's the Mars God.
It's a packed house, good to see the Cavaliers playing. I could talk about the team, but you already know. Just this bump your chest, you say. They got a little thing going, call it goosey. You pop a three-point shot, and it drops like Lucy in the sky with diamonds. It shines. So say it with me, Cleveland, you're one time. I'm a Cavs fan, I'm from Cleveland. I'm a Cavs fan out from Cleveland. I'm a gooseneck, I'm believing. Gooseneck, the gooseneck, the gooseneck, the gooseneck.
You take your thumb and your index and pinch. You let the three other fingers feather. It's a cinch. Now you got your own gooseneck. So when I ask if you got a gooseneck, you say check. Do you got a gooseneck?
Check.
Do you got a gooseneck?
Check.
You can also do the double goosey with both hands if you're doing double goosey.
Check, check,
I'm a Cavs fan, I'm from Cleveland.
Welcome back to the Chris Klem Cavscast C4 podcast. You know the drill. The Cavs won! And you know what? This game, to be honest, I had it on as background music, basically. That's how interesting it got after the second quarter. That first quarter, I thought for sure the Cavs are going to be repeating what they did last time. They came out lifeless, listless. The Nets took a huge lead on them. Oh, man, I was just shaking my head. Not this crap again. Damn it. And then, 10 minutes late, with 2 minutes left in the first quarter, the Cavs started playing. And from then on, it was disturbingly awful. They won 117-92, and this was pretty much the most balanced game you could hope for. I think they led J.R. Swish. I'm just going to call him that from now on. He's earned it. I'm sorry I doubted you, but there's still plenty of time for you to stab us in the back. But Great game. He had 14 points in the second quarter. He was in the zone. 17 points in 17 minutes for the man, the myth, the Mozgov. He was dunks, dunks, dunks on the diet tonight. Guys kept finding him from Love to LeBron to Kyrie to J.R. Smith. It was nuts. And every player on the Cavs roster that was active played, and all 12 scored. All 12 got in, all 12 scored, except for Professor Brendan Haywood, who I only call because he had his hand on his chin. He was the only Cav on the team photo on the plane that did not look happy to be there. And I think he's still unhappy because he knows he's never going to get to play. He's done. He can't contribute. But they will not get rid of him because his contract is way too valuable as a trade chip. It was a very non-Big 3-centric game. LeBron had 16 points. Irving had 12 and 10 assists. Love had 10 points and 11 rebounds. You know, they're just better than the Nets. And they pretty much ran them off the court, which I guess is what should have happened from the beginning. But you know what? We'll take quarters 2, 3, and 4 every time. Not much of a playoff warm-up, but there's not going to be a lot of those coming up. Although they do play the Pacers. And with that, I have your first voicemails of the show. Damon Kamen has called in once again, but I hate to break it to you. He does not have the best call of the show. Sorry, the streak is over. Well, Wayman actually beat him a couple times. Whatever. Damon is still the MVP of the callers because he does it with volume and quality, and those two combinations make him the Allen Iverson of callers into the Chris Klemm's Cavs cast. So his first call is going to be about the guy all of us love to hate, or hate to, no, we all love to hate him because he's pretty amazing, but he's also kind of annoying, LeBron James.
Clem, Damon. So the topic of conversation on Sports Talk Radio today is about LeBron and whether or not it's okay that he changes the play call pretty much as soon as the huddle breaks up after David Blatt, you know, puts in the play. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, it's fine. He has all the experience. He's the one with all the playoff experience. He has more experience in the NBA than Blatt does. I am on the other side of that coin. I think, look, yeah, LeBron's a great basketball mind, but he's not the coach. And as we've also seen, he is infallible, you know, or he is fallible. He does make sometimes a lot of mistakes. I mean, he's almost double-digit turnovers in a game. You know, that's bad decision-making. He's not the coach. You know, I can understand some improv. I'm okay with him making a few play calls here and there on the spot. I mean, he is pretty much the floor general. But David Blatt's the coach. You execute the plays that the coach calls. I don't care who you are. And, I, you know, people will defend LeBron to a T. They will, you know, really go to bat for him and say, it doesn't matter, it's LeBron, you do what LeBron wants. That's not, you know, the best organizations don't have that. You know, I mean, look at the Spurs. Tim Duncan doesn't do that. You know, they listen to Pop. And, you know, Pop is a different coach than David Blatt. I get that. But, look, I just want to say to everybody, LeBron is the same asshole that left Cleveland the first time around. He's just better at the PR game this time around. He's the same guy, all right? And he's an amazing player. And maybe it doesn't matter who he is as a person, but I've never liked LeBron. I still don't like LeBron. I'm happy he's on our team. But, you know, I don't want him running the team. And we've already seen he can get emotional. And sometimes he just checks out. You know, it's been raised a lot lately, the question of, is he still the best player in the league? As he's getting older, as he's obviously getting a little more banged up, and almost to a T, the answer is when he wants to be. Is he the best player in the league? Well, when he wants to be. Well, what kind of answer is that, man? I mean, the best player in the league always wants to be the best. So he just picks and chooses what games he wants to be the best player in the league and the other games that he doesn't. He didn't say that about Kobe. He didn't say that about Jordan. You know, and look, the team's incredible. All right, LeBron's incredible. This is a great thing. I hate to be complainy, but he's just bugging me, man. I mean, we've seen it in the playoffs before, in the Celtics series, when he's checked out. And I'm, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen again. Hopefully he's got his eye on the prize, and he's going to bring a title to Cleveland. But Man, this guy, I tell you what, he's so frustrating. All that talent.
I think you kind of got cut off there, so I'm going to shoot with this one, and I'm going to talk about it when it comes back. Here's Damon's second voicemail.
Clemmerooney, Damon. So we're playing Brooklyn tonight at home, and then following that, we'll be playing the Pacers. What I'm hearing more and more these days is that the Pacers are the last team that we want to see in the first round. People aren't necessarily concerned that we'll lose, but that it'll be such a physical game that, you know, we just don't want to have to exert that much energy in the first round. And, you know, there's a legitimate risk that someone comes out of that series banged up and has to sit out the next series or at least a few games. You know, there's still question marks about Kevin Love and his health right now. Obviously, he's just not playing the way that we know that he can. I say you sit him in this Brooklyn game or you sit him in the Pacers game. You know, you protect him. I just don't risk it. You know, tonight in Brooklyn, it's a game. It's a toss-away game almost. You know, even if we were to lose it, that's fine by me. I mean, we shouldn't. It's at home, and we're incredible at home. I think we're 12-0 or something at home right now. But that Pacers game, I think we need to make a statement. You know, because everyone's saying the Pacers are tough, which I guess in turn means that we're not. You know, we picked up Mozgov, and he added some toughness, and we picked up Perkins, and I think you're absolutely right. I think Perkins has nothing left. But we don't really see that toughness in the fourth quarter anyway because Mozgov doesn't get any minutes. And Kevin Love is not a tough player. You know, Shumpert is kind of gritty. And Tristan Thompson, I mean, one of the best offensive rebounders in the league right now. But this Pacers game coming up is going to be important. This Nets game, I just want to see which LeBron shows up. If he plays, maybe they should sit him too. You know, at this point, I just want us to be as healthy as possible without sacrificing chemistry, on-court chemistry. So, but being healthy is so important, so important. Right now, you know, let's just keep it rolling, man. Let's just keep putting the fear of the Cavs in the rest of the league. I just want to keep dominating. But you know, we got to be smart. We got to be safe about it. So, yeah, man, go Cavs, go Chris Clem stand-up comedy at the Funny Stop. Yeah, man, you heard?
I've already said what I need to say about LeBron. I don't like him. I hate him. He's the best player on the planet. I thank the Lord every day. I get down on my knees and I pray to that Moz God. Thank you for bringing LeBron back to Cleveland. But I don't like the guy. Does that make sense? He's like Ric Flair, you know? He keeps winning and I hate him. But deep down, I love him because he keeps winning. But I hate him. No, that's a bad example. Anyways, he is what he is. He's just that guy. And, you know, I think I like him a little bit better without his headband. But if you guys noticed, he got the lines on the side of his head, like he had to have some kind of swag. Look, I'm going to put lines in my hair next week, all right? So I should probably preface this by saying I am a complete hypocrite. But you have a receding hairline. You are officially too old to have lines in your hair. And I'm sorry it happened to you at a young age, but it did. So stop trying to do cool stuff with your hair. Embrace the fact that you're becoming an old man and deal with it. Damon says on the second one, he's worried about the Pacers because, well, first he thought LeBron wouldn't show up. Well, they showed up and they beat the Nets. They didn't even need LeBron. But the Pacers are an interesting problem. But if you remember, the first game of the season? They were rolling them, or maybe it was the second one, and they ended up losing. I don't think the Pacers are that scary. Yeah, they seem tough, but that's just because David West seems like he could beat the shit out of half the NBA. I think the Cavs are tough. I mean, you said Kevin Love's not tough. He's got to be. I mean, how else is he getting those rebounds? It's not with his amazing athletic ability and ups. It's with grit and determination. Mozgov is surprisingly fast and strong. You got Perkins, who even though he's dead, could at least do something out there. And you know J.R. Smith will not be taking shit from anyone. So I say bring on the Pacers, and we'll table this conversation until they show something to us on Friday night. I also want to give a shout out to Damon for leaving a review on iTunes. Hey, everybody, leave a review on iTunes. It helps me move up the chart and get more attention. And I need that because I have very low self-esteem. Second call of the day is from Dangerous Devin Connor. And he's got a lot to say about the Cavs. And basically, He wants us to keep things positive.
Hey, Chris, it's Devin. I've been listening to all the podcasts, and I like them all. The last one was a little bit negative, and I totally get why. I watched the game. But I just want to point out some positives about the Cavs this season versus the last few. I'm going to start with Kevin Love. I think it's okay that we're all disappointed in him. It makes a lot of sense because he was so good with the Timberwolves. But I also want to point out that he is not Drew Gooden or Donyell Marshall, which is awesome because it's better to be disappointed in somebody than to have never had any expectations at all. I also want to throw it out there that Mike Brown is no longer the coach. He's no longer sitting in our press conferences staring at all the microphones like everybody's holding flashlights in his eyes and squinting like he's been staring into the sun with his mouth wide open. I get the squinting, I guess, maybe, but I don't understand why his mouth is always open. I want to point out that there's no definite herpes on this roster, which is a big step up, in my opinion. Mike Miller looks like the obvious candidate, if anybody has it, but there's no proof that he does. Delly gives me hope that maybe I still have a shot at the pros because there's room for unathletic, scrappy white guy. It's probably a long shot, but it's there. Deion is gone, which I'm a big fan of. No Andrew Bynum. And like I said, no Delonte West. So that's probably a plus that they're not banging everybody's families. That's probably helpful for team chemistry. And instead of all the finesse digs we had, we got a giant scary Russian, which I think is awesome. And one more thing, Ryan Holland.
I agree, Devin. That's a great idea. You know, things are good. We are spoiled as Cavs fans if we're upset about anything. Right? I totally agree with that 100%. Devin asked me this. He called me and he said, I would really like for you to read your Dion Waiters fan fiction. I am going to close this episode with chapter one of the Dion Waiters adventures, The Trade. Dion Waiters flew too high to the sun, falling to the ground in what looked like a flop, staying down for what seemed like an eternity. "Get up, Dion!" Coach Blatt yelled. "There's no need to fake an injury. The game hasn't started." Dion jumped up, still full of Philly swag. "Besides, you got traded." Traded? Dion could barely comprehend the word. Hadn't he been the fourth pick in the draft? Hadn't he proclaimed that he and Kyrie Irving were the best backcourt in the league? Wasn't he supposed to provide scoring for the Cavs while LeBron was out? "Sorry," Coach Blatt said. "It's a business move." Dion smiled. It was fine. Maybe he was traded to Philly, his hometown, where he was clearly the best player and could be the man on a losing team. Or maybe a team like Boston, where he could put up great scoring numbers and become a two-time All-Star, the same amount as Dana Barros and Michael Adams combined. "We're getting J.R. Smith and Amon Shumpert from the Knicks," GM David Griffin said. "The Knicks?" Dion's eyes lit up. "I'm going to New York to play in Madison Square Garden on a horrible team where I get to score 20 a game and be on ESPN every other week." Dion squealed with joy. Griffin frowned. "Sorry, Dion. It's a three-team trade. You're going to Oklahoma City." "Oklahoma City? With Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant? Another championship contender where he'd come off the bench and be forced to play defense?" No! Thus ends chapter one of the adventures of Dion Waiters. I may or may not have more fan fiction in the weeks to come. The Cavs play Friday against the Pacers and Sunday against the Bucks, and then not again until Wednesday night. I'll be back on Tuesday with another episode of Chris Clem's Cavs Cast. And before I go, I want to give a big shout out to Dave Sterling from the Waiting for Next Year podcast, who asked me to be a guest today. I recorded the episode. I'll let you guys know when it's up. We talked a lot about the Cavs. And also, make sure to come to my show at the Funny Stop on March 25th. That's next Wednesday. So be there. In the words of Joe Tate, I'm going to be moving left to right on your radio dial, and it's time for my Folgers coffee break, a metric ton of coleslaw. See you next week. This is Cleveland. This is our town. This is our team. And a proud
town. This is our team, and I'm proud to say, hey, this is Cleveland.
Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening. Where's the coleslaw?